This is The Hard Question on WCGO. Here's BQ.
Had to reach out to our good friend, retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari, who was actually born in Iran, and, you know, so much breaking. Sargis, I wanted to get your thoughts. You know, the Iranians did the two targets. No one was hurt. Many people are giving a lot of credit to the president for taking such a strong stand. Now you have the House of Representatives trying to limit his ability to react with the War Powers Act. I want your background for so much time that you spent in the Middle East of how you think the reaction has, the strong reaction from President Trump and has been portrayed by those people in power in Iran. Do they get that he's not messing around, or is it? Are we delusional?
And thank you, Monique. It's good to be here again. People in Iran understand foreign policy because he communicated in the killing of General Soleimani. I think what happens, all the internal discussions are taking place inside our country is more for domestic consumption, so politicians are setting themselves up for the next election. But really, your foreign policy is the execution of Soleimani and that targeting that took place of him, because Iran realized, okay, now we understand what the U.S. foreign policy under the current president is.
What do you know about the replacement?
Well, his replacement is going to be a conduit of what the Iranian foreign policy is. So by replacing him with the individual that took his spot, Iran is saying that our foreign policy still hasn't changed within the region. If you look at Soleimani's bio, and we posted his bio as far as who he was going back to 2016, it literally reads the entire process of the Iranian development of their foreign policy when it comes to how they use proxies within the region. And on the day that he was killed, Iran went ahead and wrote a check basically for 200 million euros and gave it to the Quds Force. Quds Force is going to use that addition to their already blank check budget to be executed within the region. It is going to be used outside of Iran, of course, to advance their foreign policy. And that money has to be executed before March 21st of this year, which is the end of the Iranian fiscal calendar year for their budgetary requirements. So this is a seamless transition for them. But killing of Soleimani does reset a negotiation point for the United States when it comes to a long-term nuclear deal with Iran, because it also alleviates the internal pressures that Iran had as far as Soleimani was concerned. Zarif, in May of this past year, had put in his resignation, which Ayatollah Khamenei rejected. And Zarif's main contention point was, you want me to work through the international process, where I was able to bring the all the nations of the world to the table across from Iran for us to strike a deal, or you want to continue what had worked in the past, but it's not going to be working in the future, which is Soleimani conducting these type of targeted operations, communicating the already existing Iranian foreign policy when it comes to use of proxies to deliver terror, maybe on a more pragmatic perspective, that Iran uses it in the region.
Sargis, quickly, the role of NATO. The president has now basically said that NATO needs to step up to the plate and support his efforts in trying to diminish this terror that has been going on. Do they support him, or will this basically be the United States going on its own?
Well, they've been pushing back against us from the beginning, and the POTUS at least got them to where they had to commit to an additional $130 million for support of NATO operations. NATO's already in Iraq anyway, and actually Canada has a lead for the NATO mission in Iraq itself. So the U.S. is always going to be there. I think what the president is trying to say is that, look, we're energy independent. You're not. We keep on telling you, do not bypass our sanctions against Iran. You are. So if you're going to do that, then guess what? I'm going to put you at the lead, and you're going to start bearing the consequences of the decisions you're making within the region.
And the interesting thing is, people have talked about the pipeline from Canada, the pipelines that we have in the United States, fracking, et cetera. Canada exports their oil to Russia and China. Have I got that right?
Yes, to an extent. And that was, I think, part of what the previous POTUS had tried to push, which forced Canada to have to do that. It wasn't what they wanted to do. But I think we have spoken before, me and you, where the previous POTUS had bought into a Chinese overall vision as far as the bipolar world is concerned, for us, for a better term, as they use it, to be able to get to what a new reset would mean globally for us. And President Trump came in and completely reversed that. So some of these issues and problems are what he's trying to reverse, but he's trying to reverse them through a process where it's going to have to be on Canada as to whether or not they want to be a lead within the region to alleviate those pressures where they might be able to bypass Chinese support and Russian support requirements. And look, if you're going to target Iranian oil platforms in the future, it's going to cost China and Russia. So I think that message was delivered even today when POTUS stood on stage and spoke about what his priorities are when it comes to NATO's role in the region, as he called it NATO ME or NATO Middle East, and what are the possible future targeting lists out of that list that he had initially conveyed. Now he's committing it directly to our adversaries and also our allies within the region.
How's the race going for you for Congress? Where can people go and check out your site, Sargas? Because I know that you are running for the congressional district that's in the neighborhood of our very own station here on WCGO.
Yes, we are. And hopefully maybe one day we can have an in-studio interview, Blanquita. I'm available anytime. But anybody wants to help us, they could go to Vote St. Gary. They could listen to the interviews I've done. We're very busy. We're going around right now trying to build the coalition that we need internally within the various different ethnic communities. It's just a long process, and it's going to be a long election year. But I truly believe at the end of it, you're going to see an absolutely amazing transition in the 9th Congressional District, which is probably going to bring the national eyes to our district where they have never even bothered to consider this as a possible viability. They may flip to a Republican candidate, in this case, me.
Well, when are they going to be having some debates between candidates for the members of that are running for Congress in the district? Do you have any idea if that will happen?
Well, first of all, she's going to have to want to debate. She, being the incumbent, probably is not going to want to debate me. So the way she does it on the day that the attacks were taking place against the U.S. interests in Iraq, she was on local ABC News. She called in to kind of give her perspective on foreign policy. While on the same day, I got interviewed on Ben Shapiro and also on Breitbart Radio. So the only way I could force her to come to a debate section would be maybe taking what I said and what she said and kind of lay it out there for the folks and say, you decide who's better on foreign policy. That may force her to have to come to the debate stage. But if she thinks that I might be a viable candidate, it would be very difficult to get her there, unless the local media decides that they're going to push her to have to come to a debate stage.
How about meeting with the editors of the bigger newspapers in our city? What's the status on that?
The problem becomes if you don't have anybody running against you in the primary, they do not do usually interviews. Local newspapers know me pretty well. Last time we had thought about running here, Tribune had come out and endorsed Daily Herald. I actually have written a series of articles for Daily Herald. I think we have another one that Near East has published just today. I have to go back and look. They know who I am. They understand my ability when it comes to foreign policy issues. Domestic-wise, nobody's really sat down and talked to me in details on issues, which I would like to, because those are more important to the local constituents. They only care about, am I going to have food on the table? What is my taxes
right.
going to look like?
We're going to follow up. So much to always talk about with you, retired Lieutenant Colonel Sargas Sangari, on a number of areas, especially in the Middle East and national security. This is a hard question. Thank you so much for joining us today.